everyone, welcome back to the Rockcast. Today I have Tony Treach on, and we're going to talk about his pack system and kind of his evolution of pack systems too. I really like hearing about that stuff. So thanks for coming on, Tony.
Thanks for having me. Nice to be on the podcast, and I'm glad to see you're moving forward with this, and it's a good deal.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. It's turning into quite a month. I mean, just a monster as far as is a little more than I thought it was going to be, but that's all right. That's all right. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to talk about your pack system. I know that, you know, right now you're using Kefaru and have been a Kefaru user, and I am as well. So I just kind of wanted to talk about that. People have a lot of questions about Kefaru. So, what pack system are you going to use this year? What bag and frame?
Oh boy. Well, the frame I know for sure will be the Duplex Light. And actually I still have an older Duplex hunting frame too that, I just keep them hooked up to different bags, but the primary will be the Duplex Light. And as far as the bag, I just got off the phone with Aaron and Frank yesterday, and I'm not sure. I might be trying the Hoodlum or the 44 Mag, two of their newer bags. But if those don't get here in time, I'll be more than happy to run the same bags that I ran last year, and that's the Muskeg 5000 and the Cavern. And basically the bags are similar in size. They're both, for the way that I pack in, they're both plenty big enough for anything I do. And, the basic differences, the biggest differences to me are the material, and, one's basically waterproof, but noisy. It's, it's a material that's not exactly the quietest going through brush and stuff, but the Cavern is a great all around bag that's, not waterproof, but it can do anything. So those will be my, if nothing new comes in the mail, I will be running those. And I use a couple of small belt pouches on the belt, unless I'm in an area where I want to pack a sidearm, and in that case I use one of I just take off one of the small belt pouches and add a holster from I think it's JC's Custom Kydex. They're pretty sweet, and I'll run that on the hip belt. But then I add a couple of the medium or large hip belt pouches on the back of the pack and up on the lid. As far as the lid goes, I haven't been running the lid. I think it's 3 years now that I haven't ran any type of lid, any top to the pack. I just roll them over, and it's the bags. Like, I like running a little bit bigger bag than I probably need while I'm actually hunting, just for the case that I want to be able to get out a whole boned out buck and my camp at once. So I need that extra space. And with that, I was finding I really didn't need the lid because I've got plenty of extra space. So if I just throw a couple of those medium or large belt pouches on the back and on the top, it's more than enough to carry my items that I want to keep at, readily available at hand. So it lightened up my pack by doing that. But
yeah,
there's so many good choices.
Yeah, I really like, running that fold over lid with a pocket on top of it. We just went scouting for mule deer actually a few days ago, and I had the lid on it to start with, and I ended up just taking it off and just using the integrated lid with a pocket on it. It's a little sleeker. It's a little bit sleeker, and I like that pack a lot. And I totally agree with what you say with that going with a bigger bag instead of a smaller bag. I ran the 2800 Muskeg last year because I was day hunting for elk and just kind of hunting out of my pickup. And after I killed my bull, like, that first loadout was pretty tight. And, the other thing too, that just the circumference of that bag, I like packing meat inside the bag versus like using a load shelf. But just the circumference of that bag, one person trying to fit, an entire deboned elk quarter into one of those things is like not that easy. So
yeah,
bigger bags cinch down smaller, smaller bags. You can't really make them any bigger. So, that's kind of my philosophy on it. Sounds like yours is the same.
Yeah, I've ran into a couple times in the late season when I've got just, you know, bigger sleeping bag, more clothing. And, you know, well, last year in New Mexico, but when I killed my buck, I mean, I didn't have much extra room in that bag. It was stuffed pretty full, just with the buck and in my gear. And so having that little bit of extra space is, yeah, it's, I mean, and it doesn't, the weight penalty for it is, you know, a couple ounces. I mean, like the difference between, the backpacks that, or the bags that we, tested last year, the Cavern and the Crater, I mean, yep, there's not much weight penalty and, you know, to go from one to the other. And the same thing with the Muskeg, you know, they have the three different sizes and it's negligible. The, you know, you can make your backpack a whole lot more versatile, you know, by going with the larger one, and you really don't get a huge penalty in weight. But if you need that space, the difference between making two trips in one, if you can handle the weight and get it out in one, but now you got to go back twice, that's something would really leave me pretty pissed off about if I had to. But I'm with you on where I pack the meat out. I love putting them inside the bag. I don't know why I just don't like using the load shelf, and maybe it's just because I'm typically boning them out, and maybe if I left bone in and it was a little more structured and it didn't, you know, it wasn't sliding from one side to the next, like boned out meat has a tendency to do, it might be a little different, but I'm almost always boning out because I'm almost always alone and I don't want to carry that weight. So.
Yeah. Yep. I just like meat shelves definitely have their place. But one thing I'd say, I've gotten multiple questions, and I'm sure you probably have too, that literally, you know, people will ask if this certain pack has a meat shelf, and it's not because it's because their friend told them they had to have a meat shelf and they don't even know where it is. Right. I'm not even joking. Right. Like, I had a guy get a hold of me that's like, well, I don't even like, what is the meat shelf? But he told me he had to have one. So that's, I kind of did a video on the Rockslide YouTube about Kefaru. I called it like the nuts and bolts, and I kind of went through and showed people where everything was just because of that. I like the meat inside the bag.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's one of those things we take for granted that, you know, we use them so much, the bags, that we kind of learn them inside out, and, you know, someone that's new to it that doesn't have a whole lot of experience, with the system, you know, and they might get one and there's straps everywhere and there's connections everywhere. And it's like, holy crap, what do I do? You know? So I guess those videos that you put out and that Aaron puts out, and, you know, it's pretty valuable stuff for someone who's, you know, not wearing them 150 days a year and changing bags and frames out constantly.
Yeah. But, yep. Yeah. Kind of with that, what does your evolution of packs look like as far as kind of what you started with, and then, you know, how you got to, you know, how you got to Kefaru?
I don't want to throw anybody under the bus here, even if they deserve to be ran over. but the first company I used, it might've started with a K as well. It had all kinds of little pockets and cool zippers, and it was crazy ultralight. And, I thought it was pretty sweet. I mean, it held together pretty good. It was fairly tough for what it was, for what I was doing with it anyways. But the second that I killed something and put it inside, and I was coming up out of I was probably 4.5-5 miles from the truck, and it was down in a canyon. So I had about a mile and a half straight up. And then once I got to the top, it was going downhill to the truck pretty much the whole way. And it was a good, you know, it was 170-inch mule deer, nothing giant, but he was a big-bodied old buck. And, you know, I had probably had, you know, at that time, my gear wasn't quite refined enough, so I probably had 45 pounds of gear. And I would guess the buck was, you know, with rack and a head. I didn't keep that one out up on the side of the hill, so I'm actually bringing the head up and all the meat. Boy, I bet that was 85 pounds at least, if not 90. So I was pushing 140 pounds probably. And that was the worst. And I was quite a bit younger than I am right now. And the pain that I experienced on that trip out and up, you know, not only just going up, but even going down the hill when I was going, once I, you know, came up over the pass and was working back down to the truck. I mean, it was just the shoulder straps, the hip belt, the butt pad, everything just felt like it was tearing into my flesh. And I remember thinking, if this is how packing out a mountain, or, you know, a mountain animal off the side of a mountain like this is, maybe I don't, you know, maybe this isn't as much fun as I thought. And, got back the truck after a full day of recovery, went back in and did the same thing basically with an elk a couple of days later. And I don't even think I was home yet. And I called, I was already on Rockside at the time, and not Rockside, it was a different forum. And Aaron was actually, on that forum a lot. And it was his archery talk. And, I called him. You know, he used to throw his phone number right out there for everybody. And I told him what happened to me, and he just kind of laughed. And, by the time, the next hunt rolled around, I had a Cafaro, and, it was the, an older frame. I don't remember what the name of it was, but it was a modular system. And I had, a high camp, bag, which was, looking back on it, kind of wish I'd kept that thing, cause it was crazy ultralight bag, but a buddy of mine is running it now. And that system was fantastic. And then, they came out with the bikini frame, and I thought, well, the ounce counter in me said, well, I got to try this. And, I got that one. And that was there. It wasn't as comfortable hauling meat and heavy loads as it was with the other one. So I only used it for a year. I still have it. It's funny. It's one of those packs that I refuse to sell, that frame. I mean, just cause it is crazy light. And if I have to do some really deep scouting or something where I know I'm not, I'm not even hunting. What I'm carrying is what I'm carrying. I'm not going to be adding 80 pounds of meat. It's actually a really nice, crazy, crazy light frame for that. Then I think, it was a couple years later, they came out with the duplex frame.
Yeah,
I think that's what they were calling it at first. And I grabbed one of those, and there was another bag between the high camp and the Mountain Warrior, but I don't remember what it was, and I don't think I really used it that much, because when the Mountain Warrior came out, I grabbed one of those, and that was – I liked that one a lot. But it was, I could never fit my spotting scope in it completely perfectly. So I had to add a spotting scope pocket to the side. That pouch in the back wasn't quite long enough for my Swirl. So I wasn't in love with it. And then, I think the Markhor that came out, and that kind of replaced my high camp as far as my just ultralight, no extra pockets type of bag. And I still have that. It's actually on my bikini right now, so it's a crazy lightweight setup. There's better options to haul meat and heavy loads than the bikini, and that's why they went away from it. When the Reckoning came out, I jumped all over that. Having the pockets on the side that I could throw my spotting scope in, my Puffy on one side, and throw my rain jacket and my tripod and head on the other side, and have those readily accessible, so I don't have to dig in my pack when I want to, if I glass something up and I'm like, I gotta get the big eye on that right now. I liked it, and I do like the center zip. I know some people don't like that as much. I really enjoyed it.
I do too.
The only thing I didn't like about the Reckoning, and I just recently passed it on to another hunter, and I wasn't sure I wanted to do it, but he's putting it to good use already. So, the only thing I didn't like about it was the open-ended pockets on the sides. We've got a fancy spotting scope, and, you look in there, maybe it's crap to get in there. You're going through brush or whatever, you can get sticks, twigs, and, with the 95, the big spotting scope, it's sticking out there a ways. So I didn't like that. And then, fast forward another year, the Cavern comes out with Kevin slash creator comes out with an enclosed pocket that was exactly what I was looking for. The only thing I wish the Cavern would have had was a center zip. I really do like that center zip. Especially for, like you were saying, you know, trying to stuff boned out meat into a smaller backpack. Well, it's same thing with any backpack, but I mean, with that center zip, I just laid on the ground, lay the bag in there, and, you know, it was super easy for one guy to load up, you know, heavy loads. So I do like, the fact that the new one this year, the Hoodlum, has the, I guess the 44 mag too, the dual enclosed pockets on the side. So now I can keep Puffy, you know, in maybe a change clothes on one side with the tripod and the big 95 on the other side. And they're completely out of the weather, completely out of the brush. But yet they're still readily accessible, you know? I try to focus on bigger, older bucks, and sometimes you only get a split second to, you know, if you find them, and maybe they're, you know, they're the last ones, you know, the last ones to come out, the first ones to bed back down. And I don't know how many times there's been a lot of times that I've picked up something with my glasses, you know, binoculars, and I'm scrambling to get that scope out in time. And I didn't, you know, and then it's like, well, now I have to sit here all day long, whether it's, you know, and maybe he comes back out 4 hours later, or stands up 2 hours later, whatever. But now, you know, you either confirm or not, that kind of irrelevant, but you need to confirm either that's something I'm going to be going after or something I'm not. Mm-hmm. That time's valuable when you're scouting, and that could mean a couple extra miles covered. That could mean really finding something giant. Who knows? Time's important when you're scouting. So being able to have that stuff readily accessible is really important to me. And maybe I value it too much, but the two bags, the new ones that are coming out, I'm excited to give them a try. The Hoodlum is probably more what I've been used to running. You know, it's got the extra size that I can stuff a buck in there with my gear, and I'm not going to worry about it. The 44 mag kind of, for day hunting where I don't have a bunch of gear, it just looks, I mean, like in my head, I've always kind of had like this, like what would a perfect day pack look like? And it looks like it. Now I won't have as much room, but I anticipate I'll just be using that for hunts when I am either car camping or coming back to a large camp where I'm not carrying as much gear. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that Hoodlum, I've been using that thing, and I really like the enclosed spotting scope pockets, and I'll put my angled 95 from Swaro in one pocket, and in the same pocket, I will put either my glassing pad, or if we take those little Helinox chairs with us, I can fit both of those in one pocket. So that's really nice. And then in the other side, I typically put like my Possibles pouch and then my food in the other side, and then I strap my tripod, you know, kind of not straight to the back and not on the side, but kind of in that quarter section, whatever. And then I can just pop my tripod off fast and then open one pocket and get my spotter out. And it seems to work pretty good. I kind of had the same thing happen with that Reckoning. I really went back and forth on the side pockets. I liked them, but dang, they just, you know, a lot of stuff got in them. But that center zip, I look at it the same way as you. I still think that in day pack mode, that Reckoning probably compresses down better, and I can run it better, I think, and is a lot of it's because of that center zip, and it runs all the way up. That's the other thing I wish, maybe on the Hoodlum, at least one of those offset zippers would run all the way to the top instead of stopping, because that'd be really nice to peel that bag completely open when you're trying to put meat in it or just trying to unpack camp or whatever. It'd be really nice for that.
Yeah. I haven't got my hands on it yet, but when I saw that design with the two zippers, I kind of thought the same thing. I'm like, well, I'm sure they're doing it for a reason, but I still miss my center zip, or at least maybe not even the center, but just one that goes all the way up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your typical pack weight that you're packing in?
I haven't weighed it this year, and it actually probably went up a little bit. And then it'll depend on, you know, when I'm hunting, but, you know, like starting out for deer this year, I'm really the only difference between deer and elk, if I'm backpacking in, is going to be probably the spotter. Like, for deer, I'm going to be taking that Swaro. And for elk this year, I'm going to try that tiny little Maven, the new spotting scope, the micro size one, the S2, just because I normally don't carry a spotter when I'm elk hunting, but just because I don't want that giant weight penalty. Without food, my goal is to keep it under 30. And I don't know if I will this year, cause I have went up a little bit. I got a new sleeping bag, which is, I got two new ones. Actually, I was using an old Marmot and I got rid of that thing, basically a coffin, but it was crazy light. And I've got a new down bag from Western Mountaineering, and when it gets a little bit colder or wetter conditions, I picked up one of the Kefaru slick bags. And, so I went up a little bit in weight there, but, I'm hoping to still be under 30 without food and water and weapon. It might be up around that now. Usually years past, it's funny how things change. You go through this progression of, when I first started out, I had way too much crap with me. And after, every single hunt and every single week you're out there, you just like, well, I don't need this. I don't need this. And then I went into like just full on like crazy minimalist, like not uncomfortable minimalist, so much like that coffin or that, that sleeping bag. I mean, that thing was terrible. I'm sure I slept like crap in that thing. There's just a bunch of things that I've skimped on to save weight that now, as I'm developing further, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to add some of that stuff back in. Cause I want to be comfortable. I want to be dry. I want to be, basically it comes down to if it's so light that it's, well, I wouldn't really consider unsafe cause I mean, whatever, everything's plenty safe. But if it takes my focus off from what I'm doing, if I'm losing sleep or I'm up in the middle of the night, toss and turn in, if I'm whatever, those are the things that I'll add the weight back in there just to be more efficient. But if it ends up being 36, 37 pounds with 5 days of food, that's fine. If I can stay around that 34 to 33 pounds with food, I'm good too. Most everywhere I'll be this year has tons of water. I don't think I'll be packing. Well, I take that back. I got New Mexico or Ibex hunt, but that's going to be day hunting, so it's not a big deal. But everywhere else that I'm going to be has plenty of water, so I don't have to really worry about always having a full bladder of water, which is horrible. But
yeah, it is. That's horrible. That's a hell of a lot lighter than mine is, I think. Some of it's because of the camera equipment, and some of it's probably because I take way too much stuff. But I think that everybody kind of goes through that, like taking too much stuff and then maybe trying to go down the minimalist hole a little too far. And then they seem to come back into like a comfortable medium. So I think like kind of a lot of people that do it a lot, at least kind of come, that seems to be the kind of the circle that I always hear.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, and mine's not necessarily for comfort. I just want to be, I do want to be comfortable, but, whatever. Like I kind of giggle when you guys talk about you're using those chairs. I'm sure they're great, but I can't wrap my head around taking a chair on a backpack hunt. Like it's so funny.
I know.
So funny to me.
That was just a scouting trip though. We wouldn't do it for
right. Right. I gotcha. But like camp shoes and stuff like that. I mean, I hear guys talk about stuff like that and just scratch my head. Like, I don't know. When I get back to camp, I'm sleeping. I don't need a separate pair of shoes for camp, or there's just lots of little things, I guess.
One thing with that I want to bring up too and get your take on is when people say, I'm going to take one pack for packing my camp in and packing meat out and then another day pack to hunt with. That is no sense. No sense. Makes no sense to me.
I think most people that do that just haven't had a high end backpack, they're used to, their big backpack that they have probably, or that they have experience with, just doesn't compress down into, a tiny little envelope like the Kefaros or even other, other backpack companies that are in that same high end market. I've got a good buddy that just started Elk Hunting a couple years ago, and his first backpack was a Cabela's, and it was just monstrous. It was huge when it was empty. Like, there was nothing in it. And it was still like, it wouldn't, like, I don't even think you could compress it down. Yeah, he basically, the next year after, you know, I didn't hunt with him. He hunted up with another friend, and he came back. He's like, "You got any of those Cafaros you want to sell?" I was like, "Yeah, you can. There's one you can have there." And then he's the one running my old high camp now. But he just couldn't. Yeah, you could not hunt in that thing. It was so big, and I bet you couldn't compress it down half of its overall total size. It was almost such a stiff fabric. It wouldn't change. But it's funny that you still hear people talking about that today, about taking two. And I mean, that's great if you've got a horse or whatever. If you are hunting out of your car, that's great. Have different tools for different things that specialize. But yeah, if you're backpacking in and you got to carry it, do yourself a favor and get a backpack that compresses down and, you know, it's comfortable, and you can hunt in it, move in it, and shoot in it. And when you need to haul something heavy, you can.
Yeah, and you know, I think pretty much all the higher end packs, they compress down really well. You know, not just Cafaro. I think Stone Glaciers have their place for sure, and some of the other companies have their place. But they all compress down well and can handle weight well. So. There's really no reason to have to take two packs. It's going to cost you a little bit more to get one of the higher end packs, but I promise you, when you're packing an animal out, that you will be very thankful for it.
Yep. Yep. No, I mean, buying expensive gear, just kind of seems synonymous now to me with backpack hunting. I've taken cheaper stuff. I've used things I thought I could skimp on, and there are some items you can, whatever. It's not going to kill you, but I mean, your boots, your optics, your backpack. I mean, I'd rather see a guy, you know, buy a used bow that's 6-7 years old than a 6-7 year old, or maybe a little bit more than it, but with an older, cheaper backpack. It's just some things you can't skimp on, if you really want to have, an enjoyable hunt. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. So we have a couple questions from Instagram that I posted up yesterday. Our buddy Jaden Bales, actually, I just posted his Backcountry Food podcast today. He just asked what your estimated pack weight is with a load of meat. What do you aim for?
I would say it's probably a little bit less with elk, just because I know I can't take the whole thing out, and I'll break it down into. No, at the most two trips, but usually three. And it's probably, you know, they're probably 80 to 90 pounds a pop. But with a buck, I'm a little too stubborn to go back, and I will, I will stick everything in there. Now, when you're day hunting, it's not so bad. You know, if you got 20 pounds of gear in your backpack for your day hunt, or 18, whatever, total, you know, you add, I guess I always figure a mature boned up buck, and I don't see, occasionally you get a giant bodied deer, but I don't see a whole lot of difference in size between, so let's say, a 5-year-old muley or a 5-year-old whitetail. They're in most areas, they're going to be, you know, at least 225 pounds on the hoof, and a big old buck will be, and sometimes a little bigger. My Colorado buck last year was a horse. But I bet you're looking at 85 to 90 pounds total with meat and a head and a bigger rack. So if I've got 30 pounds in there, 35 pounds of gear, if I'm backpacking in, sometimes I'll open up my food containers and, you know, dump the food to gain 5 or 6 pounds. But I've only done that a few times when I knew I was in a horrible, horrible place, but I'm probably looking at coming out with 120 to 115 to maybe 130, that range.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to be 5'11". I think I'm 5'10" now, just because of that. but it's, I just cannot convince myself to make two trips. It just, I guess as I get older, maybe I will, but, there's also the, and I try not to do this. I try not to rush from hunt to hunt, but when you got, you know, what I do, you know, basically leaving the house for months at a time and I'm going from state to state or area to area on different hunts. I mean, as soon as I'm, you know, when I'm packing out that, the animal I just got, I'm already, my mind's already thinking about what I'm going to do next. And, I probably should stop it and smell the flowers a little bit more, but time's limited. And, you know, it's a go pace for a few months there.
Yeah, you make the most of it. That's for dang sure. So another question here we got is, this is a little bit off, I guess. What extra necessities do you pack along in the backcountry that many might leave behind? I can already tell you, I think it's going to be nothing.
It's probably the opposite. There's probably a lot of things that someone would go through my backpack and be like, well, where's this? Where's that? You know, there's very, very, very limited, things. There is one thing that I, a buddy of mine teased me about this too on a podcast once, but the one thing that I do take that isn't essential, for the hunt, so to speak, I could probably live without it, but I have to take a clean pair of, merino, to sleep in. So like base layers, absolutely cannot sleep if I'm stuck to my, sleeping bag. It just drives me nuts. So, you know, dehydrated wet naps or, you know, baby wipes, whatever you want to call them. You know, I think I have three boxes of them sitting here in the house right now. I open them up in the spring or summer sometime and just let them dry right out. So they don't weigh anything. You know, I'll wash down them a little bit with those every night. And, as he calls them, my merino base layers, my pajamas that I wear, every night. So that's my, probably my one thing that I really don't need, but everything else is, if it doesn't have a couple of uses, I don't pack it. And I'm,
yeah.
And I, there's some things too, like my, you know, I forget who it was that had the article on Rockslide about the first aid kit, but it really got me thinking, like my first aid kit is, a couple Band-Aids, some Leuco tape. And I mean, not much Leuco tape, maybe 3 feet of it. And then, that's about it. Like I don't, there's nothing else in there. I don't, so I probably could, stand to have something a little bit more, you know, provide a little bit more of a safety for me, but I don't know. It's.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Travis. That's Travis Bertrand that had that article and we're going to have him scheduled to be on and talk about it. And what, like, there's a little bit of controversy between what, you know, he's not going to take a tourniquet and there's a bunch of people on the forum that wanted one. So that's going to be a really good podcast coming up in the future. He's in Italy right now. So we have to wait on him a little bit for that.
Yeah. I've been keeping him up to date on the landowner tags that I've been finding in Colorado. Him and I were both looking this year. So I'm waiting for him to get back. I've got a couple of good ones I found, but
good.
That's funny on the tourniquet because I always have, I don't carry a whole like 50 foot of or whatever of paracord, but I use a smaller paracord too. I get it from Lawson's outdoor supplies, but I keep, you know, 15 feet of it or so, but you could use that as a tourniquet or even a shoelace in a life and death situation. I mean, or you could even tear off the bottom of your shirt or a sleeve. So yeah, that's one of those things that if I, you know, as an emergency situation like that, I don't think I'd be packing it either.
Yeah. So the controversy on that was that a shoelace isn't, for one, you can't get it tight enough. And for two, it's not wide enough. So instead of just cutting the blood flow off, it could like cut, I mean, you could like lose your arm, I guess. Right. Yeah, kind of. I just read through, I don't know anything about it, but I just was reading through the comments. So that's some of the things that I had written down to cover and kind of, and talk about. And I'm talking to a couple of my military friends too, that have had some of that kind of trauma training, and we might get them on and talk about it as well, kind of from a different perspective.
I'd be interested in listening to those. Cause I think I definitely have a lot to learn there. I know I'm underpacking for that. My biggest first aid piece would probably be my Garmin InReach, because I mean, basically I'm screwed if something happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Thanks for hopping on, Tony. If anybody has any questions, Tony's on the forum. His name is just Tony Treach. I'll link it in the description. He has a ton of, reviews, and our crater and cavern backpack review that we did with Kafaru. I was on there. Oh man. One thing, a lot of people ask about that have the Hunter Duplex frame, and then the new Duplex light frames are out. Did you notice a big difference between those two?
Yeah. The biggest difference for me, I guess there's two of them. One would be the shoulder straps. Just so much more comfortable on my shoulders. And I didn't think the regular Duplex was bad compared to what I was coming to before them. The Duplex is fantastic. And I still run. I mean, I still have both of them right now sitting next to me because I'm going through my gear. But the new one has way better, more comfortable shoulder straps. And it's, believe it or not, it's actually vented in the back now. So like in the same way that the old bikini frame was open in the middle and you could get air in there to your back, the new frame is open down the middle, where the previous Duplex was solid across. It had padding all the way across your spine. Well, that area now is open. Now, if you stuff your bag full of too much stuff or whatever, if you stuff full of meat, it's obviously going to compress and fill that area. But yeah. when you're just in regular mode, I definitely could, just roll my shoulders back, and I would open that area up, and I could feel the breeze through there. So that was a huge improvement. The pad on the tailbone seems to be, I really don't notice much when I'm just hiking and hunting, but when you throw a ton of weight in there, it seems to hold up a little bit better. And I didn't get any, it just seemed to hurt less when you have 100+ pounds on there. I mean, it's still not going to feel good. It's still going to suck, but it just keeps getting more comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Would you recommend people kind of step up to that next one, even if they already have 100 Duplex? The difference was minimal for me. The airflow was definitely there. But comfort wise, for me, I didn't really feel that much of a difference. I do like it. I like it a lot. I just like both of them. Neither of them are bad frames.
Mm-mm. No, they're both, like I said, I used each of them pretty much equal last year. And I think, the guy that's going to be skimping on, or not skimping, the guy that's going to be, having to really pinch his pennies and stuff, I'm going to tell that guy to probably go on Rockslide and buy him one of the classifieds.
Yep.
You can get great deals on there and plus, like a guy right now, say if a guy really today, what are we, 4 weeks from, or 5 weeks from the opening, Arizona and Nevada, Utah, they're going to be opening in a month.
Yep.
You might not be able to order a frame right now. I don't know. Sometimes the demands get super high this time of the year, and the lead time might not be, might not be enough, but you can go on Rockslide and pick up one and have it, in a couple of days out of classifieds. So that would be the way I would tell a guy that, if he's really pinching pennies, if he's got an extra $350, that Duplex light is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I did like it more than the older one. So,
yep. The lead times is something to note as well. I just saw Dana came on their Instagram page the other day, just a couple days ago, and this is the 25th of July. And they said lead times are starting to extend because it's getting closer to season. People are putting their orders in. So if you want to buy a new bag from Kafaru, you need to get on it. Like now, to make sure that you have it before season. And of course, like, you need to mess around with it a little bit before you just hit the trail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's definitely learn how you like it and how it fits your body. And there's lots of different ways to adjust it. So it's good to get, good to get some time behind it. And hopefully guys and gals have been training with them all summer and getting used to walking around with that weight.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for coming on, Tony. We'll get you on another one here before too much longer.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Yep, thanks. All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning into the Rockcast. Not sure which episode this is going to be, but, you know, coming up, we have a lot of cool episodes. some more reviews of, you know, the Stone Glacier sleeping bag. Some walkie-talkies with Chaz Carmichael. He talks about some other backcountry communication options. We're going to talk about game bags, Garmin inReaches, and GPS watches. Justin Crosley and I hopped on and talked about tripods and heads. One of my buddies from back east talks about trail cameras and another about tree stands. I just did a collaboration with Dustin Whitwer where we kind of run down our gear list and talk about what we're doing. He packs probably a little more minimalist than I do, so it's a cool comparison. Understanding sleeping bag ratings with Matt Weimer. He did a review on this on the rockslide.com, just a written review. We talk about that, talk about some broadhead options with Jimmy Tippett, and then we hop back on with Tony and talked about the kind of his clothing system. So that's what's coming up. Over on the Rockslide forum, we have a section called the Rockcast. And as I post these episodes, I just do a new thread for each. So that's where you hop on and you can talk back and forth. Pretty much everybody we have on is on those forums. So you can ask a question, they'll get back to you. And then other people can throw their two cents in as well. So it's a really good resource. We have a new segment coming up on Tuesdays. We're calling Tipsy Tuesdays. Doesn't really have anything to do with alcohol. We just like the name. And I'm just going to cover kind of some of the new articles being released by Rockslide and maybe some hot threads, maybe some hot news in the industry, and then give my two cents on something different every week, hopefully. So that's all coming up. Thanks for tuning in. Hit that subscribe button. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And yeah, everybody have a great day.